This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Hi, this is Bob Lentz, manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Ford Motor Company has an exclusive offer for Illinois Farm Bureau members. Get a $500 bonus cash savings off a vehicle MSRP towards the purchase or lease of any eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See your Ford Lincoln dealer for complete details and qualifications. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today for this and other great benefits.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Ooh. Ah, that's what you'll be saying after you slip on a pair of Dr. Comfort orthotic sandals, now available at Michelle's Pharmacy. These are extremely lightweight sandals that help correct posture and alleviate foot and back pain, as well as aching legs. Try on a pair at Michelle's Pharmacy, and don't forget about free delivery only from Michelle's Pharmacy. Healthier, happier feet start right here at Michelle's Pharmacy in Gillespie and Carlinville.
It's coming up on 11 minutes after 6. The overnight crude oil market 30 cents higher at 90.08. The Brent crude a nickel higher at 106.25. The December gold contract $4.60 higher at $1,628.60. The U.S. dollar index 0.083 lower at 82.711. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, September wheat trading at 919.5, up a nickel. December wheat trading at 931, up 3.75. September corn trading at 824.75. That's up 5. And December corn trading at 820.25, up 6.25. August soybeans trading at 1741.5, up 15.75. September beans trading at 1682, up 14.75. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 914.5, up 16.5. December wheat closed at 927.25, up 16. March wheat closed at 926.5, up 13.5. September corn yesterday closed at 820, up 21.5. December corn closed at 814, up 20.75. March corn closed at 806.5, up 19. August soybeans yesterday closed at 1725.75, up 41.5. September beans closed at 1667.25, up 39.5. November beans closed at 1643.5, up 41.75. August soybean meal yesterday closed at 546.30, up 186. September meal closed at 518, up 159. October meal closed at 502.10, up 175. August soybean oil yesterday closed at 52.57, up 53. September oil closed at 52.77, up 54. October oil closed at 52.97, and that was up 55. September oats yesterday closed at 384.25, up 7.25. December oats closed at 387.75, up 8. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were sharply higher on Monday afternoon. Hot and dry weather conditions continue to push grain prices higher. In the USDA's weekly crop progress report, the condition of the U.S. corn crop fell by 2% to place 24% in the good to excellent category. The condition of the U.S. soybean crop also fell by 2%, placing 29% in the good to excellent range. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 20 to 22 cents higher at 7.99 to 8.18, while soybeans traded 31 to 32 cents stronger at 17.26 to 17.42. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 20 to 25 cents higher at 8.22 to 8.48. Soybeans were up 31 to 35 cents at 17.34 to 17.47. And cash wheat bids gained 14 to 17 cents at 8.89 to 8.98. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 19 to 20 cents at 8.14 to 8.60. Soybean bids mostly 36 to 42 cents higher at 17.34 to 17.60. And the cash wheat bids gained 12 to 17 cents at 8.73 to 9.15. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 20 to 21 cents higher at 8.24 to 8.30. Soybeans advanced 34 to 41 cents at 17.51 to 17.66. And the wheat bids up 16 to 19 cents at 8.62 to 8.75. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 21 to 23 cents higher at 8.37 to 8.40. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 20 to 22 cents, with quotations at 17.65 to 17.74. Soft red winter wheat gained 17 cents on Monday at 8.84 to 8.85, and the Milo up 21 cents at 7.63 to 7.64. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from 7.77 to 7.93. New crop soybean bids at 16.09 to 16.21. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 7.89 to 8.24. New crop soybean bids at 16.13 to 16.29. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 7.98 to 8.27. New crop soybean bids ranged from 1622 to 1644. That is our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
August hogs yesterday closed at 94.55, down 65. October hogs closed at 81.97, up 65. December hogs closed at $80, up 70. August cattle yesterday closed at 119.65, up a nickel. October cattle closed at 125.82, up 55. December cattle closed at 128.65, up 22. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 138.25, up a half dollar. September feeders closed at 140.07, down 32. October feeders closed at 141.50, down 95. Once again, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Monday, July 30th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrows, and gilts closed $4.31 lower, with a carcass-based price range of $84.23 to $92 and a weighted average of $85.22. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 11,000. Illinois direct barrow and gilt trade was steady, 54 to 60, with Illinois direct slaughter sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 25 to 30. 450 to 550 pounds at 27 to 30. Over 550 pounds at 28 to 33. 4s under 300 pounds, 30 to 35, and over 300 pounds, 10 to 15. Today's estimated receipts, 1,175, and Friday's actuals, 1,225. Pork carcass cutout, $91.91. That is down 36 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection. Hogs for today and last week, both 398,000. A year ago, 350,000. Cattle for today, 129,000. Last week, 127,000. And a year ago, 123,000. Box beef cutout values. We're firm on light to moderate demand and offerings. Total movement today, 111 fab loads with 40 trim. Choice, 177.62, that is up 68 cents. Select at 170.78, and that is up 75 cents. At the Illinois auctions, which we cover, receipts last week of 1,691 head. Compared to the previous week, Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to three lower. Choice steers, 108.75 to 115.75. Choice heifers at 107 to 115.75. Choice Holstein steers traded steady to dollar higher, 101 to 108 and a quarter. Slaughter cows traded unevenly steady with slaughter bulls lightly tested. Illinois direct slaughter cattle on a live basis traded a dollar to a dollar and a half higher, from 113 to 115 on a live basis last week, and a few dress bases at 179. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices yesterday for butter, 164 and three quarter, down 2 1/4. For block cheese, 170 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 168 and a half unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 1667. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, 838. For August, 803. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, 830. And for August, 803. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for July, 1734. And for August, 1641. Wheat delivered to Scottville for July, 849. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $8.38, corn at Scottville, $8.30, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $17.34, wheat at Scottville, $8.49. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois today, hot and humid, high temperatures in the upper 90s with light northwest winds. Tonight, mostly clear, the low in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-90s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms Friday and Saturday. Low temperatures in the mid-70s, high temperatures in the mid-90s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure rising. Our temperature, 68 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Hi, this is Danny Russell from Russell Furniture and Floor Covering in Staunton, Illinois. I'm having a summer clearance sale. I've got a lot of inventory and I need to get rid of it. I have sofas priced from $399. I have recliners priced from $299. I have 250 chairs, name brand chairs, Lazy Boy and Lane priced from $299. Bedroom sets, 5-piece bedroom set, queen headboard, chest of drawers, dresser and mirror, and nightstand for $599. And 12 months interest-free financing. Come see us. We have the largest selection in Central Illinois.
Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, here's the weekly crop update from Brad Schwab of the Illinois Agricultural Statistics Service.
Statewide, there was little relief for drought-stricken Illinois, as temperatures averaged 81.6 degrees, which was a sweltering 6.6 degrees above normal. And to add insult to injury, rainfall accumulations came up 53 one-hundredths of an inch short of normal, totaling only 31 one-hundredths of an inch for the 7-day period ending Sunday, July 29th. There were a total of 6.8 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies showed another decline to 85% very short and 15% short. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile also followed the decline to 86% very short and 14% short. And it should be no surprise that the growing degree day units since May 1 were 223 heat units ahead of the historic average at 2013. Corn in the dough stage was reported at 58% compared to 31% 1 year ago and 32% for the 5-year average. 18% was reported at the dense stage, and this compares to 2% 1 year ago and 4% for the 5-year average. And to round out the progress categories for corn, 2% of the crop was rated mature. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn mature category was the Southwestern District, reporting 34%. With this statistic in mind, corn harvest in the Southwestern region could begin any day now. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated at 38% very poor, 33% poor, 24% fair, and only 5% good. Soybean blooming advanced to 95% compared to 81% a year ago and 75% for the 5-year average. 61% of the crop was setting pods compared to 36% last year and for the 5-year averages. And 1% of the soybean crop was reported turning yellow. Overall, the state soybean crop was rated at 27% very poor, 29% poor, 35% fair, and only 9% as good. In other crops around the state, pastures were rated in very poor to poor condition. The third cutting of alfalfa was reported at 53%, and this can be compared to 21% last year and 23% for the 5-year average. The sorghum crop that has headed reached 51%, which compares to 33% 1 year ago and 41% for the 5-year average. 88% of the oats crop has been harvested, compared to 64% 1 year ago and 59% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
House Agriculture Committee Chair Frank Lucas defended the idea of extending the 2008 Farm Bill for 1 year over the weekend. He said the changes made for the 2012 Farm Bill are of such a magnitude that the orderly way to implement a new Farm Bill would be to pass a 1 year extension. According to Lucas, one more year of existing farm policy would provide for an orderly transition to the next Farm Bill. As for House acting on the extension, Lucas anticipates a limited amount of debate since the only change that can be made is moving the 2008 Farm Bill 1 year further down the road and slight adjustments in funding levels to address the fifth year and what would be the sixth year of the Farm Bill's livestock feed assistance. Lucas is hopeful the House can clear the measure Wednesday, but the chairman is not sold on using the extension as the basis for a conference with the Senate-passed bill, stating he is a regular order kind of guy. Without a guarantee of Farm Bill action later this year, House Agriculture Committee ranking member Colin Peterson opposes the extension. With drought conditions worsening and corn yields expected to drop significantly, a coalition of meat and poultry organizations is asking the Environmental Protection Agency to waive the federal mandate for the production of corn ethanol. A petition asking for a waiver in whole or in substantial part of the amount of renewable fuel that must be produced under the renewable fuel standard for the remainder of the year and for the portion of 2013, that is 1 year from the time the waiver becomes effective, was delivered to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson on Monday. According to the coalition, the renewable fuel standard has directly affected the supply and cost of feed in major agricultural sectors of the country, causing the type of economic harm that justifies the issuance of an RFS waiver. In asking for prompt action to provide a measure of relief for livestock and poultry producers, the coalition petition notes the economic conditions affecting grain supplies and feed prices will worsen in the months ahead. In other farm news, late last week, Rita Frazier of the Farm Bureau talked to Kyle Brazzi at the Madison County Fair, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. We talked with Kyle Brazzi last Friday from Madison County. Kyle, obviously a farmer, a seed rep with Pioneer. He's also with Shipman Elevator Company. We wanted to get Kyle's perspective on how things were looking in this area and a little bit more about what's ahead. You know, what are your thoughts on the 27th of July?
You know, as I think about the whole year in perspective, we were really excited when we got everything planted, and I know you and I talked a couple of different times at that phase, too. The last several months have been really tough. It probably is the worst or most challenging one that I can think of in my career. The corn has really suffered, and the beans aren't looking very well either in most places.
And when you say that, what is our window for saving the beans at this point?
You know, if we catch some rain any time here in August, we can still save some of the bean crop. As long as that plant doesn't completely die, it's going to constantly try to stay in reproductive phases. So as we scout fields right now, we find a lot of soybean plants that are just, they seem to be stuck in this R1 to R2 phase, where we have those little bitty pods on just those lower nodes of the plants, like 3/16 of an inch, and then they're only there for a little bit, 1 or 2 days, and we come back and then those are gone. It just aborts those pods. So until we get some moisture, in our area and most of the fields I look at, we seem to be kind of stuck in that phase, but as long as the plant doesn't die, there's still an opportunity for it to set some pods and actually have a little bit of yield.
So we have hope for the beans. Over for the corn, I guess my thoughts go to how will it be harvested? And I know that you've talked to your customers, your friends in the industry. What are thoughts about when that actually might start as far as harvest? And what are some additional concerns about even getting what's there out?
The grain in a lot of places may be pretty tough to shell. We find that a lot of times those cobs get a little rubbery. We have to really grind pretty hard on it to get that corn off of them. For the most part, though, I think that, the corn that's in the bottom fields, those darker soil types, we have a few places that did catch a little bit of rain. And in those places, we'll have some corn that we'll be able to shell. I don't think it'll be very high yields, but at least we'll be able to run combines through a lot of those fields. When you go south of us, not very far, there's a lot of fields down where there's really not even an option. I hear insurance friends that are in the industry talk about yields that are, 5, 8 bushels per acre. Whether or not you harvest anything in there or spend your time driving through there is really questionable. But for the most part, I think a lot of our fields will be harvested in our area, but the yields will be really low.
And do you have a thought on when that actually might get started? Are we looking second, third week of August?
It's so hard for me to say when these plants get kind of messed up like this, when they're fighting this severe stress. The kernel maturation process just doesn't fly through like we normally see it do. I'd have a hard time guessing, but it will definitely be early. There'll be a lot of corn out before September.
Madison County's Kyle Brazzi. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
On thousands of farms and ranches across the country, there is the tradition of one generation teaching the next about agriculture. New legislation would eliminate what many see as a threat to that tradition. American Farm Bureau Federation labor specialist Christy Boswell talks about the Pre-Service Family Farm Act in this story from the American Farm Bureau's Jonna Miller.
When the Department of Labor proposed new rules that would have eliminated the opportunity for a lot of young people to work on the nation's farms and ranches, the agriculture community spoke out. Now that the department has rescinded that proposal, many want to make sure they don't see a repeat performance anytime soon.
The Preserving Family Farms Act was introduced by Congressman Tom Latham of Iowa when the regulation was still pending. Initially, the intent was to block the implementation of that child labor proposal. When the administration withdrew the proposal, Congressman Latham was still concerned and wanted to protect family farms into the future, so amended the bill so that the Department of Labor would not be able to introduce something similar to the proposal.
American Farm Bureau labor specialist Christy Boswell says the proposal went too far.
It was very prohibitive in what tasks it restricted. It basically prevented youth from doing simple, mundane tasks that they should be able to do with proper training and supervision.
And Boswell says there's no question it's the Department of Labor's job to ensure the safety of young people who work on farms and ranches. But there are better ways to accomplish that.
Broad-reaching federal regulation wasn't the answer. Looking forward, we hope that we can work with the Department of Labor and the USDA in developing safety programs and possibly crafting some more appropriate regulation and looking at the current regulations to make sure that their concerns are addressed and it still protects the agricultural way of life.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
The drought has many, including University of Illinois farm broadcaster Todd Gleason, wondering just how this year's corn crop is holding up. Todd decided to get a first-hand look, and here's what he found.
Last Sunday, I decided to go for a drive. I wanted to see just what the corn crop in central Illinois looked like. So I headed west from Champaign, making my first stop not far from the intersection of Routes 47 and 136. I pulled 3 ears, spaced 10 steps apart and 50 paces into the field. That's about 125 feet for me. The first, second, and third stops, I was near McLean, Illinois by that time, all looked pretty much alike. 14 to 16 around for the most part, and 36 to 38 kernels long. I dropped south on old Route 66, the Mother Road through Lincoln and to Elkhart, and then turned west on Blacktops, headed for the Illinois River, stopping near Fancy Prairie, the Cass County line, west of Petersburg, and then Ashton, that's north of Jacksonville. They all looked the same. So I turned south, thinking things would most definitely get worse. Not the case. They got better, for 2 stops. And then, just to the east of Carlinville, I found the first real zero of the day. Well, the stop near Litchfield looked awful, too. It was after 5 now, and I'd started around 10 a.m., so I turned northeast on Route 16. Things picked up quickly, and just outside of Paynham, my odometer hit 20 miles from the last stop. The outside looked great on this field. 7 full-sized ears on 4 plants. It looked good 125 feet in, too. I kept moving, turning north on 51 to Moquegua, and then the back way to Dalton City and Cisco. That was my last stop, 300 miles from the first stop. What did I learn? I'll leave that for others to decide. You can see it all for yourself on my Twitter feed. My handle is Commodity Week. There's a tweet from each stop. I'm Todd Gleason.
And a video of Todd's tour is available at www.youtube.com/watch?. In other farm news, the American Agriculture Alliance has decided to end its relationship with Bank of America after 25 years because of the bank's public support of the Humane Society of the United States. The alliance says it cannot continue a business relationship with companies that are contributing financially to extreme animal rights organizations that seek to eliminate the animal agriculture industry. The alliance reached out to the bank last month in hopes it would discontinue its Humane Society of the United States Affinity Card Program. In a telephone conversation with Alliance CEO Kay Johnson Smith, Bank of America's agribusiness executive emphasized that the program with the HSUS was not new. He recognized the statistics that the Humane Society of the United States spends a great deal of money on legislative and legal attacks against farmers and ranchers while spending less than 1% on direct animal care, but said people believe the Humane Society of the United States helps animals and enjoy having a card with cats and dogs on it. Right now in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat trading at 9.17.5, up 3. December wheat trading at 9.29.5, up 2.25. September corn now trading at 8.22.75, up 2.75. December corn trading at 8.18.25, that's up 4.25. August beans trading at 17.40, that's up 14.25. September beans trading at 16.79, up 11.75. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.